This is the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Moran in the backfield off Brady's left hip. Amendola started in motion. Brady takes the snap. Rolls right, throws to the end zone. Catches Wade. Touchdown, Danny Amendola!
The Bob Soucy Show is your source for in-depth Patriots coverage and all things NFL. Join Bob for exclusive interviews, statistical breakdowns, and the best coverage of your New England Patriots.
Gostowski trying to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the uprights, and the kick is a game winner!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, hands extend, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!
Now, here's your host, the radio voice of your New England Patriots, Bob Soucy.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you to the show from our Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside Gillette Stadium. Bob Soucy with producer Kevin Collins. And, of course, coming off the bye, the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts each getting set for its 10th game of 2014. With the Pats at 7-2 and the Colts at 6-3. New England has won 5 in a row, averaging better than 40 points per game and winning those contests by an average margin of 18.5 points per contest. Colts, meanwhile, dropped their first two of the season. They lost against Denver and Philadelphia, splitting a road game with a home game to begin the year at 0-2, and then the Colts have won 6 of 7 since, most recently with a rout of the New York Giants on the road in the Meadowlands. Coming up on today's show, we'll have Reggie Hayes of the Fort Wayne Sentinel to break down the Indianapolis Colts and talk about their very talented young quarterback Andrew Luck in that offense, but as well, we'll dissect the defense a bit. Kyle Arrington from the Patriots secondary is going to join us. Kyle taking some time today after practice to visit not only about the state of the team, but also the state of his family affairs. It's a family that's growing because Kyle and his wife have a year and a half year old son, and within a month or so, they expect their second child. So Kyle Arrington, kind enough and a very, very busy time in his life to spend about 10 minutes with us, and we'll get to that interview shortly. Also hope to hear from my partner on the Patriots Radio Network, Scott Zolak, a bit later on. Zo currently down the hallway here at Gillette Stadium doing some pre-recording for some upcoming TV shows. Jackie Britton from Patriots.com as well scheduled to join us. We'll have some sound bites from Tom Brady talking about the kickers in this matchup. Adam Vinatieri, of course, the all-time leading scorer for the Patriots in his 19th year now, ninth season, in fact, as an Indianapolis Colt after his career in New England. And Steven Gostkowski, who is only 35 points away from eclipsing Vinatieri's franchise record for career points scored, and in his own right is one of the NFL's best. We invite you to join us on the hotlines, the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398, or by calling 1-855-PATS-500, 1-855-PATS-500, and you can email at webradio@patriots.com. And Darius from Wisconsin has been on hold now for about 15 minutes. Let's get to him immediately. Darius, how are you? And I say immediately because we begin, and I know you've been on hold for a long time, so thanks for your patience.
Thank you. Well, I was just calling, you know, to give the overview of this week's game. And pretty confident about the game going in. You know, T.Y. Hilton does scare me. He's about the only thing that scares me. I think they're going to put Browner on Dwayne Allen and take him out of the game because Revis is going to be on Reggie Wayne. I think that's more favorable for him, and I think you'll see probably Malcolm Butler or Logan Ryan on T.Y. Hilton. They were kind of like a little bit more shifty and faster than Revis and Browner and help over the top because that's what you're going to need, help over the top. Other than that, Kobe Fleener, he doesn't really – pose a big threat to me. I think Jamie Collins can stay with him, or Chung can pretty stay with him pretty fairly, I think. Richardson, running back, does not scare me, but Ahmad Bradshaw, former Giant, that he runs hard against us for some reason. Every time he's ever played against us, he's had a pretty good rushing game. So that's more of what I'm looking forward to. They're going to have to really slow him down because then that'll kind of take away the play-action game for Luck in the Colts.
Well, I hate to bring it up, but I think the last time we saw Ahmad Bradshaw against the Patriots at Lucas Oil Stadium, he was trying not to score a touchdown, but couldn't help himself, right?
Yeah, and that was not a good sight. Yeah.
No, so, sir. No, it wasn't.
As far as their defense goes, the Colts I'm speaking of, I don't think they can really stop us. There's nobody that can cover Gronkowski. I heard someone kind of say earlier, you could probably throw Vontae Davis on, and I'm like, no, you can look at what Tlaib tried to do. That won't work. I think if I'm the Colts, I'd probably put Laurent Landry on him. He's a pretty good athlete, I think, former Pro Bowl safety. So I think he's probably their best shot of kind of holding Gronk, and I don't really think he can hold Gronk. I don't think anybody in the league can hold Gronk. He's not Jimmy Graham to where he can be pushed on the line. Actually, I take that back. Cam Chancellor, I think, may be the only person that can hold Gronkowski one-on-one.
Well, just maybe we'll find out. In February, there's a long way to go, but just maybe we'll find that out. But I agree with you on Gronk. I don't think that any single player in the league can contain him, and I think that's what separates Gronkowski from the other standout tight ends who are really big wide receivers. And not only that, of course, Gronk's ability in the blocking aspect, the run game as well.
He's a tremendous blocker, and yes. I think that part of his game is very undervalued.
You know, and I think your point about the Colts, first of all, the offense, all your points are excellent. The one thing about the Colts that concerned me is not necessarily if you take them individually, but it's the whole concept of the way the offense works, because you mentioned the two tight ends, and Allen certainly is the better tight end than Kobe Fleener. But with those guys working in concert underneath and across the middle of the field with those receivers, in particular Hilton with his top-end speed, and then a guy like Reggie Wayne who's so savvy, and Hicks is a guy that, he's been unsure at times with his hands in recent years, but still poses a big play threat. I think it's just the overall body of receivers that the Colts have. I think if you take them individually, Reggie Wayne isn't what he used to be. Hicks certainly is not the player that the Giants drafted in the first round, or he has not been the last couple of years coming out of North Carolina. You mentioned the two tight ends, and Fleener, I think, has been somewhat disappointing in his young career. But again, as a whole, it's an offense that's been operating at a very high level, 400 yards a game over the course of the last seven games. And Andrew Luck is a very, very talented quarterback and does a lot of things with his legs. But I like your point, especially about Ahmad Bradshaw. And it's not only in the run game, what he does and how hard he runs out of that backfield, but his...
Even screen.
Yeah, his work in the screen game, his work as a late check down for Andrew Luck leaking out of the backfield after picking up pass protection. He's an excellent pass protector as a running back, too. So he really is a well-rounded back and is a threat, I think, in all phases of the game for Indianapolis. And you mentioned Allen and Bradshaw, of course, two guys that were not in the divisional playoff last year against the Patriots, just like Reggie Wayne. So it is a bit of a different offense that the Pats are going to have to defend, as opposed to the one that New England was able to eventually outscore in a big way in last year's playoffs.
Yeah, but now, even though you say that, I think that we actually have the upper hand, because this defense is not the same. Last year when Andrew Luck, he's looking over there, he's not looking down the pipe and seeing Darrell Revis on Reggie Wayne.
I totally agree
now,
with you, yes.
This year, I don't think he's going to say, oh, I'll take that matchup this year. No, you're going to have to look elsewhere, because that's Darrell Revis. And you're not going to pick on him too much in the game. I didn't see Peyton Manning. I mean, Peyton went his way, and that's my point, because Demaryius is a little bigger, a little faster than Reggie Wayne. Peyton went his way, but it wasn't, we're not going to really pick on him. They went kind of underneath everything. And it was the Belichick philosophy of keep everybody in front of us. Mm-hmm. I think T.Y. Hilton's going to have the same game Emmanuel Sanders had, where he has over 100 yards receiving, but it won't be anything over the top.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll give him everything underneath, but nothing over the top. And then they'll make everybody else beat them, because that's what Bill loves to do, take away your number one option and make everyone else beat us.
I would agree. It certainly makes sense, and it's certainly consistent with the way the Patriots have played in the past. And, I think that your point about the Patriots defense, again, is taken with wholehearted agreement from this end, because one of the things about the Pats this season, again, if they stay healthy, and to ask for full health is probably a bit too much. In fact, it's definitely a bit too much in this, in the NFL, in the modern day NFL. But I think this defense should travel a lot better than the defenses of the recent past, in particular last year, so decimated by injuries. And you're right in pointing out the secondary play, but I also think in the linebacking core, when you consider the progress that Dante Hightower has made, and I think Jamie Collins certainly has found his comfort level once again in this defense. I thought he played very, very well against the Denver Broncos, and I think Akeem Ayers, as a guy that's come in and kind of taken to a role, whatever the Patriots have asked of him thus far in two games, on a more limited basis, of course, in week one for him, but more expansively against Denver. I like the composition of this defense, even without Chandler Jones, but I think the Patriots are much better suited going up against Indianapolis when you consider that Alphonso Dennard has been a healthy scratch the last couple of games, and he's been really Andrew Luck's main nemesis the last couple of years with three interceptions in 2012 and 13 against Andrew Luck.
And that's what I was just about to ask you. I was going to say, like, I don't know if it's just the fan in me that really loves this team, but this is what I look at, and I look forward, and I say, wow, we don't have Dennard. Dennard's not playing. I haven't really seen Logan Ryan. It seems like Bill's saying, you guys know this system already, so I'm going to get the other guys acclimated, which is Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler. That's what we've been seeing, really, for the last couple pair of weeks. Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler. And I look at it and I say, well, that's good, because come playoff time, if the secondary is healthy, just for a perfect example, we have not seen Daron Harmon all this year, and he played a big part in our defense last year.
Yeah, but the guy you mentioned earlier too, Patrick Chung, has done a nice job. I thought he played very well against Tammy in particular and the Denver Broncos, and he's a guy who's been really physical. One of the wild cards we haven't mentioned for Indianapolis is a player who's emerged lately as a rookie at a 100-yard game, including a 50-plus yard reception a couple of weeks ago, Dante Moncrief.
Moncrief, yeah.
At 6'2", 221 pounds. But, you know, you look at the way the Patriots match up game to game, and maybe this is a week when Alphonso Dennard is back out there for New England. But I like what Malcolm Butler has done. So there's a lot of depth on this defense in the secondary, and they're playing very well.
Yes, and one more thing.
You got it, Darius.
For who do you as far as, I don't want to say unsung MVP, like mid-season MVP, I've been telling everybody, I think Ninkovich is for us.
You know, Rob Ninkovich is the quintessential unsung hero. He does everything well. I thought, you know, he got off to a little bit of a difficult start this year. I think he really struggled against the Dolphins in a lot of respects, and there were some issues really the first 4 weeks for the entire team, but Ninkovich got caught up in that a little bit. I really like what he has done since, though, and you know, for me, I think he's one of those guys that you really count on consistently to do all the right things and not to do the wrong things.
And he reminds me of the number that he wears.
Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. It is so, it's like he has Vrabel pouring all out of him.
He's got Vrabel hands, I'll tell you that. He's got Vrabel hands. He may not have scored a touchdown yet for the pass, but he's got good hands too, like number 50. And he has caught a touchdown pass in his collegiate career, so.
Yeah, and if you look at it in the years before it, Ninkovich was just playing linebacker a couple years back for us when we were in a 3-4 defense.
They asked him to do a lot of things.
And that's what I'm saying, like Vrabel was that guy like the elephant man who can go down and be on his hands and come back up and be in a stance, and he can drop back in coverage and like the play he made on Peyton Manning, that I thought was was just brilliant, because yeah, you're not expecting a defensive end to drop back in coverage, but he's not really a defensive end. He's a hybrid.
He really is a hybrid. He really is a hybrid, and you know, he's a guy who's really carved out a fine niche for himself. He was rewarded last year, the contract extension, well deserved. And you know, I'm going to go with another guy in defense too that I think is really grown, and we mentioned him a moment ago, and that's Dante Hightower, with what he's been asked to do of late with the added responsibility, and just the confidence level and the comfort level seems to be so much greater than it was a year ago when he was in his second season. Hey, Darius, thank you so much for the insight and the time. I know you were on hold for a long while, and I appreciate your patience. Good to hear
one
from
more
you.
Thing.
Yes,
Jonas
sir.
Gray. Jonas Gray will have over 100 yards. Just putting it out there.
All right, that's Darius from Wisconsin giving us a call in. And again, you can dial in as well on our Ace Ticket hotline at 508-298-0398 or 1-855-PATS-500. And Scott Zolak has called in, my partner on the Patriots radio broadcasts on our flagship in Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub, and the rest of our affiliates throughout New England. We were idle last week, and at least we weren't at a game to call, but we certainly were watching the NFL. And Zo, before we talk about this Sunday's matchup of the Patriots and the Colts, as we welcome you back, what were your impressions of last week, and what stood out for you on the bye week for the Patriots?
What stood out for me, Bob, was the fact that I think Green Bay is pretty darn good. I'm excited to go to Green Bay in a couple weeks just to see Brady versus Rodgers. And, you know, hey, we got two teams coming off the bye. And the big thing that also stood out, there's no one really running away with this thing. And I think even if you look at the NFC, that thing's wide open. I think Seattle's starting to come together a little bit. The team that, you know, you and I talked a lot about over the last 2 weeks, Pittsburgh Steelers, with Roethlisberger throwing the 12 touchdowns, you know, Pittsburgh back. Next thing you know, they get beaten by the Jets, and Cleveland takes a step forward. So who knows what the heck's going to happen at AFC North. I think Baltimore's still alive. And looking forward to Hoyer versus Mallett, Brady backup bull number one.
Hey, what about that matchup? Ryan Mallett gets his first opportunity from Bill O'Brien to be a starting quarterback, of course, supplanting Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Brian Hoyer leading the Cleveland Browns atop the AFC North.
I couldn't be happier for him, and that's a guy that's done a lot here. And, you know, I know Brian pretty well, as I do, Ryan, but, you know, you look at the way Hoyer was playing last year before the knee injury, and, you know, that guy had him going pretty good, and you just figured, man, he just can't catch a break. And today, you totally forget that, and this is the best thing I like about the Brian Hoyer story, is that, you know, we forget that, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, is even there in Cleveland. And to think about where Brian Hoyer was 5 years ago to now, where Johnny Football was talked about at the college level, you know, for the last 4 years, and here he is, and he can't get on the field because Brian's playing so well.
Yeah, he really is, and he's a guy that stands to be paid pretty handsomely if he stays healthy, whether it's by the Browns or somebody else at the end of the year, and, of course, Mallett's on a salary drive, too. What about Drew Stanton out in Arizona, Zoe? He takes over again for Carson Palmer, who goes down with a knee injury. The Cardinals playing so well, can they keep up the level of performance with the NFL's best record they've enjoyed thus far?
You know, I think they can because I think they're well coached. I think Bruce Arians is a good coach. You know, we went through that in 2008 when Tom went down and, you know, Bill coached up Matt Castle. You're starting to see it again in Philadelphia. You know, you're not going to have Foles for a while. And, you know, Sanchez seems like he's in a good spot, happy for him. And it's funny you mentioned both of them. Sanchez was the starter in New York. They went and got Drew Stanton to be the backup. Tim Tebow became available. So they sent Stanton packing. And next thing you know, Tebow's out of the game, and here's Sanchez and Stanton both starting in the National Football League for other teams.
And Mike Tannenbaum out of a job with the Jets eventually.
Shocker.
Jets were the one other team in the AFC East to play and win a game this week, whereas Miami and Buffalo both relinquished leads late. Buffalo still had a chance to come back and win it in the end against Kansas City, but the Bills could not score from inside the red zone. The Dolphins, meanwhile, saw the Lions score, really improvisation by Matthew Stafford, a sidearm flip,
sure.
And the Lions come back and win that game. So it really was a good weekend for the Patriots, all things considered, when it comes to the AFC East divisional race.
Hey, it really is. And you know, another team that you know people are sleeping on, that Detroit team, we're going to see them in 2 weeks. So you know, a lot of firepower on offense, and you know Caldwell looks like he may have been the right hire where, you know, in the preseason, a lot of people are questioning the hire. Does he have enough personality to control that team? There's a lot of loose cannons on it. It seems like he's got him playing good football right now.
With Scott Zolak, my partner on the Patriots radio broadcast, and of course we're back at work this Sunday night when the Patriots travel to Indianapolis, and Jim Caldwell, the former coach of the Colts, replaced by Chuck Pagano, and well, the Colts are on their way to another AFC South Division title, it appears. But Zoe, you look at their body of work, they've got the potent offense, number one in the NFL in offense overall, but defensively, certainly suspect, especially against the pass. What do you make of this Indianapolis team with only three losses to date?
I'm not sure because, I mean, you watch them play. I know this, and even going back to last year, I know the Patriots match up really well against them, whether it was regular season or postseason. But if that Indy team gets down, they don't quit. They keep fighting. They come back. Luck hangs in the pocket. You know, I really like him. I like T.Y. Hilton. I like their young tight ends. I think Reggie Wayne complements all of them well. And I think to your question, Bob, I just don't know if they have enough defensively to shut down, you know, I think Gronkowski, and that's where it really starts with him. You know, can they match up with Gronk where a team like Denver really couldn't? And, you know, that's a big question. You know, Chicago couldn't match up with the big guy. And that's what it's going to come down to. If you stop Gronkowski, I think you're going to have the ability to maybe slow down this Patriots offensive attack.
And you know, the other thing that stands out to me, too, about a defense, whatever the personnel is, when you've got to generate pressure by way of the blitz, as the Colts seem to do, and can't do it with your front four or just your base defense, when you look at teams the Patriots have had trouble with this year, Miami, Kansas City, able to rush the quarterback with three, four men. In Indianapolis' case, Chuck Pagano, Greg Minuski, they blitz a lot, it seems. Is that playing into Brady's hands?
I think anytime you blitz Brady, Manning, you know, Brees or Rodgers, you're going to pay. If you blitz Luck, you've got to be able to generate pressure with your front seven. And remember, when you blitz, you're bringing somebody and you're turning someone free, which means you're manned up on the outside. So we've seen this Patriots defense evolve over the last 4 years where they maybe didn't have the right pieces, you know, to where they could cover people. So maybe they didn't blitz as much. Now we're starting to see them layer some things, and that's good for them. And I think the Colts are having a tough time doing that right now.
Andrew Luck, Colts quarterback, has succumbed to some of the pressure against the Patriots the last couple of years, had the multi-interceptions, two return for touchdowns 2 years ago, and the Pats scored 59. Last year, the AFC divisional game got away from him, intercepted twice by Alfonso Dennett, also picked off by Hightower and Collins. He's a bright talent, really in a lot of ways a brilliant quarterback, but what's holding him back right now from being one of the true elite quarterbacks in this league?
I think protecting the football, that's it. And I think he'll learn that, he'll play that as he gets better. I mean, he's taking his licks right now, and I think if you watch him, he's a gamer. He's got good, he makes good plays with his legs, but the ability to protect the ball, I think he's turned it over more than Andy Dalton, but less than Geno Smith, and I don't know if that's a good thing. You know, that's a difference right there, and we've seen that, you know, same thing with our team here against Miami and, you know, of course, Kansas City. You turn the football over in those games, what happens? You end up losing them. And maybe that's the difference. If he can minimize four turnovers, that's the difference between being 6-3 or 7-2 right now for them.
So what concerns you most about this game? You talked about some of the personnel offensively, but going on the road, playing in that controlled environment in Indianapolis, what concerns you most about this game?
Road game noise. You know, the ability to play in the dome and have some noise, and that's where guys on the edge can get the jump. We saw with Cameron Wake, saw with Tom Ali, two away games, noisy environments. Patriots have not played well on the road, and they got to convince people that, hey, if you're going to be a good team, you got to win on the road.
Colts don't have Robert Mathis, of course, this year, one of the outstanding pass rushers in the NFL. Anybody defensively besides the corner Vontae Davis and maybe the linebacker DeQuell Jackson, who we saw last year with Cleveland, anybody stand out on that side of the ball for the Colts for you?
Well, I think Vontae Davis does. I think, but our old friend Sergio Brown's over there, so you got that. Yeah, there's maybe an area you could tack with Gronk. I just think that, you know, if you got a good corner, you could do some things. Vontae Davis gives them that ability, but the problem for them is, okay, here are the Patriots, here's their subset. Where do you put Davis? Who are you going to put him on? You know, we had that last year with Tlaib. We've seen a little bit with Revis. It's going to be a tough decision for them as to what they want to do with him, whether it's on Edelman or whether it's on Gronkowski, or hey, maybe it's on LaFell. Maybe they're going to try and negate him because he's been coming on.
We haven't seen much of Tim Wright the last couple of weeks. Should we expect to see more of him in this game against Indianapolis too?
I don't know. Maybe because it's on the road, but they do like the who-man and blocking situations. You know, if they're going to go two tights, maybe they go two tights with who-man and keep him in the block and turn the big boy free. I just think if the matchup dictates that, then yeah, maybe you will see it.
We haven't talked much about the running game the last couple of weeks. What about the state of the Patriots' rushing attack in this game?
I just think they're better when they throw it. if they have to, and I think it's Josh too. But Josh and Matt Patricia have had the ability to adjust their game plans. And if it dictates this game that they got to run the football, he'll run it 30 times. If not, he'll run it 8 times. They'll do offensively what they need to do to win the football game, and that's the best part of it.
All right, so I know you're at a charity event. I appreciate
right,
you taking the time to visit with us again.
I'll see you tomorrow. We got a couple more.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks, Scott
Bob.
Zolak, this is no doubt the busiest man in New England, at least in the media. Scott Zolak, again, at a charity function today after co-hosting his radio show on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston with Andy Gresh from 10 to 2. You can hear Zoe and Gresh weekdays at 10 to 2 on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zoe then came over to Gillette Stadium on his way home, taped a couple of TV shows for Patriots programming, Patriots All Access, and Patriots This Week, and now Scott Zolak making a charity appearance tomorrow. It's a similar schedule for him. Back on the road once again up to Boston, to Brighton in particular for his radio show, and then to Gillette Stadium for a function here to take some questions from an audience gathering at Gillette Stadium, give his insight on the Patriots and as well the NFL at large, and he'll be back at it next week doing more of the same. He is indeed one of the busiest men in the business, and I say that with all sincerity, and he's a pleasure to work with on the air on Sundays, and we'll be back at it, of course, together at Lucas Oil Stadium Sunday night for the primetime matchup of the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. And as we look ahead of that game, again, I want to invite you to join us here on the Bob Soucy Show on Patriots.com at 1-855-PATS-500 or at 508-298-0398 on our Ace Ticket hotline, and you can email at webradio@patriots.com. Momentarily, we're going to talk with Kyle Arrington, a conversation that will touch on the Patriots' upcoming matchup, the personnel, the Colts' offense, but as well some off-the-field things for Kyle, who is a bright young man out of Hofstra University and a veteran for this Patriots team who found that 3 was a charm for him. He had auditioned with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a very brief stint as a Buccaneer before landing with the Patriots. And well, Kyle Arrington now, a member of the Pats secondary, a guy who's really responded so well to all of his roles, whether it's as a slot cornerback now, coupled with his special teams performance in the coverage units for the Patriots in particular. We saw him this year recover a fumble against Cincinnati on a kickoff return by Braden Tate and cash it in for a touchdown on his return. And again, Kyle Arrington will join us shortly on the Bob Soucy Show. But first, we want to get to today's practice report and the injury-related news regarding the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. Dominique Easley, the defensive lineman, the rookie from Florida, did not participate today. His listed injury on the practice report, a knee injury. Of course, he's been bothered this year by a knee issue as well as a shoulder problem. Easley did start to warm up last week but had to leave a Patriots practice session before the bye, and he did not participate today. Chandler Jones continues to remain on the sideline for the Patriots, try to come back from a hip injury. He did not participate for New England. Keep in mind as well, his brother Arthur is an injured member of the Colts. He did not participate for Indianapolis because of an ankle injury. Arthur Jones was hoping to come back for Indianapolis 2 weeks ago, did not make the return against the New York Giants, and so his status, like Chandler's, certainly in the case of Chandler, he is far less likely to come back in the short term than Arthur Jones, but nonetheless, both look like they're going to be on the sideline for the next week for sure. And Arthur Jones, a guy that the Colts went out and signed as a free agent, as a former Baltimore Raven, and a player that was very impressive, I thought, last year for the Ravens in the Patriots' win late in the regular season. Nate Ebner today, limited participation with his finger issue. Same goes for Cameron Fleming. Matthew Slater, limited participation with a shoulder injury report. And Ryan Wendell, the Patriots offensive lineman, who's played so well of late at guard in addition to his duties as a center, limited participation today. Meanwhile, for the Colts, mentioned the status of Arthur Jones, did not practice. Also, Gazdar Sherlis, the former Boston College offensive line standout, a tackle for the Colts. One of their two offensive tackles, along with Anthony Costanzo of BC Eagle alumni fame, did not participate today. In the case of Gazdar Sherlis, he's got a groin injury. Eric Walden, a linebacker for the Colts, did not participate because of a quad injury. And Reggie Wayne did not practice. It was a non-injury-related absence for Reggie Wayne. Limited participation for Enoch Mwamba, toe injury for the linebacker for the Colts, one of several former Canadian Football League players who've made their way to Indianapolis. Ryan Grigson, the general manager of the Colts, has ties to the CFL. Mwamba's a fine, a former Winnipeg Blue Bomber, and a very interesting story. Somebody who grew up in, at least in his early childhood, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Enoch Mwamba, today a limited participant for the Indianapolis Colts. Also Victor Butler, a linebacker with a hamstring injury, with limited participation. And meanwhile, linebacker Josh McNary, the West Point cadet, graduate of the United States Military Academy, a full participant, coming off an ankle injury for the Indianapolis Colts. So that's the injury report from today's practice. The Patriots and the Colts, of course, each coming off the bye, getting set for their Sunday night showdown. It will mark the 12th straight year that they will meet the Patriots and the Colts. Last year, not scheduled to play one another in the regular season, but of course, they eventually did confront one another at Gillette Stadium in January when the Patriots rolled to a postseason win over Indianapolis. The Colts began this year with an 0-2 record, losing at Denver 31-24, fell behind in a big way, came back to make it close, then lost at home against Philadelphia before ripping off 4 straight wins and make it five consecutive wins, including a shutout of Cincinnati, 27-0, and then got blitzed by Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, beaten soundly, 51-34. Roethlisberger threw the six touchdowns in that game. The Colts bounced back 2 weeks ago, built a big lead against the Giants, and eventually cruised to a 40-24 victory in that matchup. Patriots, of course, have won five straight, as noted at the top, and they have done so by outscoring the opposition about 18.5 points per victory during the winning streak, while scoring more than 40 points per game during that stretch. And of course, Tom Brady has had one of the hottest hands in the NFL over the course of the last 5 weeks, and certainly is front and center when it comes to the candidates for MVP at this stage of the year, for what it's worth. Kevin Collins on the other side of the glass getting set to cue up Kyle Arrington in a pre-recorded interview from the Patriots locker room a short time ago. But Kevin, Patriots coming off the bye. It's a matter of 2 weeks between games since that win over the Denver
Broncos.
Feels
like forever.
But it feels like 2 months, I was just going to say.
It does.
It does feel like close to forever as we get ready for Indianapolis. I almost forgot how to do this.
I didn't know what to do with myself this past weekend with all that free time, Bob.
So what did you do with yourself?
Well, fortunately, I had a Revolution playoff game to produce on 98.5.
And you are probably wearing the Revs colors.
Probably wearing the Revs colors. They advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals against the New York Red Bulls, which will start on November 23rd, but we had the game on the Patriots and Revs flagship, your home, Bob, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We had that broadcast at 5 o'clock on Sunday. We had a great show with Brad Feldman and Paul Mariner calling the action, and great broadcast, great result. The Revs won 3-1, advanced past Columbus, and are on to the finals, or the Eastern Conference Finals, shall I say. But it was kind of football of a different nature for me on a Sunday. It wasn't a typical, you know, football Sunday for me. I had a great time doing the game, but I wished a little, there's a little piece of me that game was on Saturday so that I could have just sat and vegged on the couch and watched football on Sunday. But I was in here watching Red Zone like everybody else. And, I had a few takeaways from this past week. I watched a lot of that, San Francisco and New Orleans game, which was a fantastic game that went right down to the wire with the, controversial ending there with Jimmy Graham. Paid a little bit of attention to the Buffalo-Kansas City game early in the day. Was really shocked that Buffalo didn't close that game out. Had plenty of chances to win that game. Certainly worked out well from the Patriots' perspective with the Dolphins and the Bills both losing. And then they'll look to beat each other up again tomorrow night, Bob, as they play on Thursday Night Football. So it's like, you know, it's a real positive thing for New England here going through the bye week. You know, you're guaranteed of the Bills and Dolphins. They each lost once, and one of those teams is going to lose twice before the Patriots play another game. So the AFC East is looking better and better for the Patriots as we go along, and I think everybody is kind of guilty of shifting their attention now to those top two seeds as the Patriots enter the second half of their season.
And we're going to find out, of course, Sunday night whether Indianapolis is a legitimate threat
exactly
for one of those top two seeds, if not the number one seed by year's end.
Exactly.
Denver got off to a shaky start against Oakland like you. Yeah. I was watching Red Zone for the most part, did stay with the New Orleans-San Francisco game late in the fourth quarter and through the overtime. The 4 o'clock Fox game that we had broadcast in Boston, unappealing for the most part. I mean, the Giants were much more competitive, I think, than one would expect in Seattle. But the way the Seahawks ran all over the Giants, it was really like watching
Marshawn Lynch had a field
college
day.
Game.
Exactly.
In that sense. I mean, I've seen Navy put up some astounding rushing numbers during my years calling the midshipmen with their triple option offense. And you see teams like Wisconsin, for example, with Melvin Gordon put up numbers like that when it comes to more conventional rushing attack. But to see 350 yards.
Something else.
In an NFL game at the expense of a team with really such a proud defensive history.
Exactly.
And a proud history period, but a proud defensive history.
Yep.
As Antrell Roll summed it up for the Giants, it really was, in a lot of respects, an embarrassing performance defensively to be run over like that. But Seattle seems to be a team that, is beginning to find its stride. It's so interesting to me, Kevin. Here we are a couple of weeks removed from reports of dissension within the locker room of the Seahawks after the trade of Percy Harvin and a loss for Seattle that immediately followed the reports about Jim Harbaugh losing a handle on his team in San Francisco and the impending doom for the 49ers head coach at year's end. And while the 49ers show a lot of mettle, they make a huge play on fourth down when Crabtree gets lost by the Saints to prolong their chances. They come back and get the field goal by Dawson to force overtime. They stop the Saints, and win it in overtime on a Dawson kick. And so San Francisco and Seattle are right there. Right now, of course, it's Arizona setting the pace in the West, but the Cardinals have lost Carson Palmer. And, of course, they have, I think, three games, if not mistaken, against the Seahawks and 49ers left, plus a tough one at home against Detroit coming up this week. You know, you have to be impressed with the Lions. It's easy to look at Detroit, given the recent history of that team and the way it's folded at times, especially at this stage of the season, and some of the emotional immaturity we've seen from the Lions, especially on the defensive
side.
Just
bad penalties. Yeah, bad penalties. A history of bad penalties.
History of bad penalties, no doubt about it. But Jim Caldwell has that team believing and playing well. They've had to come back now and win, really, with the same formula the last 3 weeks, and they've been able to do it. So,
got to give them credit. That's going to be a battle in a couple weeks.
It will be. It's a reminder that that team is more mentally tough than it's been in the past. It certainly is talented.
Yeah.
Calvin Johnson just back in the lineup for Detroit. And, of course, the Lions await on the horizon at Gillette Stadium before the Patriots go to Green Bay. Heard Scott Zolak talk about the performance by the Packers. Much of the attention has been on how bad the Bears were and the state of the Chicago Bears, a team that really is in dire straits. But the Packers, so impressive with their offensive performance.
You'd be remiss to not acknowledge how well the Packers played in that game. And by just kind of giving the Bears credit for imploding, Aaron Rodgers just playing unbelievable football. Looked like he had got hurt a couple weeks ago. I think he pulled a hamstring and has come back from it with no ill effects and is throwing the ball all over the place. And in my opinion, and maybe this is sacrilege around these parts, is playing at, you know, the best football of any quarterback in the National Football League.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue with that. I think certainly Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady right now, the two best quarterbacks consistently over the last 5 weeks, and Peyton Manning certainly is right there. You can certainly say, they make an argument that many of Peyton's statistics, the 400-plus yards against the Patriots, proved to be, I think, aptly described by Chris Gasper in the Boston Globe as empty calories. But still, I mean, for Peyton to come back the way he did after a shaky beginning against Oakland and throw the 5 touchdown passes on successive drives against the Raiders, he's still playing at an exceptionally high level. That team is certainly a threat for that number one seed, regardless of what took place here. If for no other reason, by virtue of the two schedules, when you look at the Patriots and the Broncos, considering those two teams in what's left, and we've talked about the Pats going to Indianapolis against that offense, number one in the NFL in points per game at 32.2, number one in total yards per game at 451.2, speaking of the Indianapolis Colts, and then to come back home and have to play the Detroit Lions in 2 weeks before going to Lambeau Field and then continuing across the country and facing San Diego, a team that's going to be playing for its playoff lives certainly within the next couple of weeks and thereafter, led by Philip Rivers with a talented cast. It's a tough stretch for the Patriots coming up these next 4 games. And, of course, Sunday night, New England will get started on that 4-game string that includes 3 away contests against, very talented quarterbacks. If Andrew Luck is not so-called elite, he's knocking on the door. We've talked about, with Scott Zolak, his propensity for turning the ball over at times, but still he has the full body of talent of a number one pick. And I think that when you look at what he's done, inheriting that team that was so woeful the year before he got there out of Stanford, and doing what he's been able to do as the Colts have really turned over a large portion of their roster from 3 years ago, a pretty remarkable young player in Andrew Luck. And so the Patriots begin this stretch again, trying to defend the aforementioned Luck and his receivers. And as I mentioned, Kyle Arrington was kind enough to spend some time with us a little bit ago after the Patriots adjourned their practice here at Gillette Stadium. They were inside in the bubble behind the stadium trying to get acclimated to indoor environments. And, of course, they'll play against the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium this coming week. And as much as one can talk about the controlled environment of the artificial surface indoors with no wind or cold temperatures or rain to affect play, nonetheless, the Patriots will have their hands full against the Indianapolis Colts, as Kyle Arrington told us, with regards to that Colts offense specifically.
It's going to be a tough challenge. Definitely ahead of us. They're extremely talented on that side of the ball. You know, of course, it all starts with Andrew himself. Does a great job for him, you know. Makes good reads, gets the ball out on time for the most part. And even when he doesn't, though, he does a great job of keeping plays alive. He's just such an extreme competitor, you know. And you know, to get that type of get all that from your quarterback, you know, it only makes your team that much difficult to face.
The thing about him, as you alluded to, is his legs and ability to extend plays, but also to take hits and make throws while getting drilled. How challenging is it as a defensive back to stay with a play throughout because you've got a quarterback who's going to keep things alive out of the pocket?
Like you said, to have a guy like that who, you know, a lot of guys will look at the rush. I mean, obviously, he knows it's coming. He'll stand tall in the pocket anyways, and look at his guy down the field and still get the ball out. And accurate throws at that, getting hit almost simultaneously. Sometimes, bang, bang plays, and he still makes good plays. So we have a challenge upon our hands, to stay alive, stay alert, the play's not done. When you think it's over, it's not over till you hit a whistle blow. Basically, it's our mentality heading into this one.
There is speed on the outside, of course, with Hilton. Mm-hmm. Nick's the former Giant, is a guy who can make big plays. But Reggie Wayne has been so reliable for so long, and he's been utilized a lot in the slot. Mm-hmm. Tell me about defending a guy like that, as savvy as he is and as knowledgeable as he is.
Definitely savvy, crafty, experience, all of that. With the combination of him just being a playmaker, it's tough to defend. And you can tell he have good chemistry with his guys. Not only just Reggie, T.Y., Hakeem. You got Moncrief coming to his own as well. I think he was in there when they played Pittsburgh when Wayne was out, and he did some good things for him. So you can tell Andrew has a lot of confidence in his guys, and so it's gonna be tough sledding.
Kyle Arrington, our guest, as the Patriots get ready to take on Indianapolis. Following the bye, are you eager to get back at work the way this team has been playing of late?
I think we do a great job of just compartmentalizing everything. So guys took the bye week for what it was, a good great opportunity to get off your feet, relax, and things of that nature. So now that we're back at it, guys are extremely back to being focused and ready, to face a great team ahead of us this week.
A lot of the young guys get away. You yourself, you have a family, a young family that is growing as we speak, a 1.5-year-old and another on its way. So how did you pass the time during the bye week?
As you alluded to, man, I'm extremely family-oriented. Me and the wife are both from Maryland, so we went down there, spent some time with friends and family. And I just, had a great time. Like I said, got away for a little bit, and now we're back. Just ready, to play a competitive, tough game for 60 minutes.
You talk about compartmentalizing as a football team and the job you guys do as Patriots. How do you do it as a person, too? Because you have your obligations and responsibilities as a father, the pressure that goes with parenthood, and at the same time, you're making your living as a professional athlete.
I think my dad said it best. He's always been a great role model, mentor for me. He told me a long time ago, you got to learn to wear different hats. So when, I'm here, I have my work hat on, obviously. When I get home, I have my dad hat on and things like that. And then you also have to, everybody's different. I always speak myself. I know when I come home, my boy, he's always going 100 miles an hour. So as soon as I get home through the door, the house is quiet. I know we sleep. And if... So I get home, that's the only thing that matters, it's just, just the family. And so that's the best way I can describe it.
A lot of Patriot fans are well aware of the story of your son's birth and, of course, the diapers that were to follow from Adrian Wilson when you guys made the exchange. You had number 24. He got it, but in exchange gave you your supply of diapers. You're now wearing number 25, your third number with the Patriots. Have you found a teammate that might be interested in 25?
I know it.
Diapers get expensive.
I'm telling you, man. I like to keep them guessing. Next year, who knows, man? I might try to go through all the 20s. Maybe to start with the 30s at some point. No, I'm just kidding. But receive some compensation like that, and as I found out, as soon as that, it's been over a year, obviously, and as soon as we started running to the store to actually, grab our own diaper, I said, ooh, this year's supply really came in handy.
And Adrian, did he fulfill his promise to babysit? And what kind of babysitter was he?
I let him off the hook on that one. He didn't really have a resume or anything like that. And you just can't leave your kids now. I'm just kidding. But Adrian, he was a great guy. But maybe next time. We'll see.
Let's talk about the current members of the secondary, of course, and the guys that are new in this locker room this season, like Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner. They certainly have done a good job at the back end of this defense. What is it that stands out for you the way new players like that, veterans, come in and mix with this particular group?
I believe they, to be honest, they complement each other, you know, very well as far as Darrell and Brandon go. You know, that, I mean, one, you know, they're extreme competitors. You know, Darrell, he's technically sound, crafty, you know, experience, you know, things like that. I mean, he's just so studious. He's a student of the game. And, Brandon, and, I mean, he just has that edge to him, you know. I mean, he's you know, in-your-face kind of guy. Like I said, a high competitor. You know, it doesn't matter what is in the game, in practice, in the locker room. You know, we could be, you know, playing Jenga or something. You know, yeah, he's gonna be in your face. But no. So like I said, they do a great job of just, you know, playing off one another.
How often do you guys converse about the games or even practices with your lockers next to one another? You have your meetings and you spend a lot of time with video. But how much conversation takes place in an informal setting like this that helps you on Sunday?
Whether it's myself, Brandon, Darrell, Devin, Patrick, you know, all of us, you know, we talk about past experiences and because I mean, you know, between the guys I just named, it's a lot of experience in there. And so, you know, we like to say one thing in this locker room: don't keep it a secret. So, you know, if someone comes up with, you know, with a question as far as strategic or, you know, certain coverage or with the game plan, you know, we're all talking about it and how we can, you know, as a group, you know, come together and, you know, be in the best position possible.
Kyle, you also have a young guy in the group who came from a small school like yourself as an undrafted player, and he made it the first go-round in Malcolm Butler. You're somebody who had a chance with Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, and you found your niche with the Patriots. When a guy's just beginning his career, what's the most important piece of advice you could give him? Because here you have the staying power, 80-plus appearances in the NFL in the secondary.
It's better to be, well, to be honest, when I started with Philadelphia, I should backtrack. When I started with Philadelphia, I had, you know, extreme, tremendous veterans like Mr. Brian Dawkins, Sheldon Brown, Lito Shepard. I think that was Asante's first year as well over there. So, you know, it's just leadership. And I was just a sponge, you know, just trying to be a sponge. I guess that would be my best advice. And, you know, Malcolm has done a great job of that. It's just being, you know, receptive to not only to the coaches, but, you know, his teammates as well, as far as, you know, they try to bestow our wisdom, I guess, in a sense, upon him.
In some ways, better be seen than heard as a young player,
yeah,
so that you can absorb.
Yeah, that's what I was going to allude to, but like I said, I had to backtrack first, you know, to my rookie days.
Also, an understanding of the value of every role, including special teams, which you have displayed for this team. You've scored on a blocked field goal. You've scored on a fumble recovery of a kickoff return like you did this year. You're instrumental in special teams. How important is that role to you?
It's just, you know, we try to do our job to the best of our abilities here. And, you know, the more you can do, the better, you know, it helps the team in the long run. You know, whatever is, you know, is asked upon us, whether it's on defense in the kicking game, things of that nature, you know, guys, you know, they're, like I said, more than open to competing at a high level.
Our guest is Kyle Larrington. You mentioned you're from the Washington, D.C. area, but you went to school collegiately on Long Island at Hofstra. Good football program, Marcus Colston, as evidence of that, but no longer competing in football at the collegiate level. How disappointing was that, and how much pride do you take in the fact that you are one of the last vestiges of Hofstra football playing in the NFL?
I almost say the last of a dying breed, huh? Now, you take extreme pride in that, and you know, it's unfortunate because you know, football is just one of the, boy, you know, nowadays is, you know, number one sport in America, you know, so we feel, and you know, to not have a program anymore, like I said, it's just unfortunate. And especially, you know, for the guys at that time who were, you know, underclassmen and, you know, still had some eligibility, you know, having to find new schools, you know, transfer to, and things, it could be a hassle. And you know, but we're, you know, we're fighting for it, you know, and we'll see what happens.
That's in your past. As you look forward to your future, I've read that you maybe want to be an athlete. actor. Mm. And I understand, too, that you're a black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh, yeah.
So is the future in action movies, maybe the next Bruce Lee?
Exactly. Hey, you said it, not me. But there you go. Like I said, I got the black belt. Got the face. Nah, I just kid. But, yes, I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll give it a shot. I mean, it's just about I'll be at home sometimes, you know, I'll be talking to the wife, you know, we're a huge movie bus, and we'll be sitting on and watching a certain movie, and guys in it, and I say, you know what, that could be me, that should be me doing that, but we joke about that all the time, at least I joke about it all the time, she just gives me a certain look, like, okay.
As most wives do.
Yeah, exactly.
So, who plays Kyle Arrington in the Kyle Arrington story?
Not Devin McCourty. Nah, just kidding. If anyone knows our relationship, me and Dad, we go at it like that all the time.
Is there anybody in this locker room who's good looking enough to play Kyle Arrington? Mm. At least portray him accurately on the big screen?
Other than Kyle Arrington. Yeah. That's a tough one. In this locker room, let me take a quick once over. Maybe Vince. Vince could give it a shot. You know how sometimes actors they have to, you know, shed some pounds to get in select roles. That may be the case with Vince, but he'll do a fine job.
With Vince's longevity, I guess he can do whatever he wants, and with his size as it is in this locker room,
I'd say so.
Kyle, appreciate your time again. I know you have another one on the way, your second child. All the best to you, your wife, and your growing family.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Kyle Arrington with us, back with more after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
It's time now for a call to the bullpen.
I just, like, can't read.
The Kraft Sports Productions bullpen.
I'm drunk on a plane.
Time now to welcome in Patriots team reporter Jackie Britton to the Bob Soucy Show.
And hello again, everyone. We welcome you back. And out of the bye, Kevin Collins still with his not so appropriate introduction for Jackie Britton. That's
right.
That's no way to greet a guest.
I know. I mean, I was just singing one day. Just by my lonesome self in here.
It's all fair game within these walls.
I guess so. I should have known
Fresh
better.
Podcast studio. Jackie Britton of Patriots Today, Patriots.com, Patriots All Access, many things Patriots with us. And
yes.
Jackie, back at work. We mentioned the bye week. You were busy last week, as were the rest of the Kraft Sports Productions crew. But nonetheless, it's different when there's a game to be played. And it's back at it with the Pats on the road this weekend.
I know. I'm kind of excited to go back on the road. It's been a while. But certainly a lot of challenges, obviously, we know with that for the Patriots and the Colts. And, you know, kind of they got in a rhythm here. They're getting comfortable playing at home. And, you know, now it's time to go back on the road.
Three of the first four on the road, and then the Patriots, of course, were able to really get hot at home for the most part, and then now they embark on this stretch of three of the next four away from home. And Tom Brady was asked about the difference between being home and away, and one of the things that he stated today in his press conference is communication is a big issue on the road, especially indoors at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brandon LaFell was asked about that today, and he spoke to that, and he said, you know, it's they crank up the music at practice. It's always loud at practice, but he specifically noted Kansas City. He was like, nothing's been like Kansas City, which I think is probably pretty obvious. But, yeah, they prepare the best way they can for that, but there's really no way to do it until you're in that environment and you're in those surroundings. So it'll be interesting. I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal, though, as a lot of the questions are asking, you know, playing indoors and weather controlled, you know, the noise, whatever, the retractable roof, the dome, whatever you want to call it. But I think that they're well equipped to handle that kind of environment.
Seems to me the best part about it for the Patriots players will be especially tomorrow when the temperature dips dramatically here in New England.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they go indoors to practice as opposed to practicing outside.
I know. Yeah, Brady led us on to that hint today. They were practicing inside the bubble, which at first I didn't know was because the fog was so bad here in Foxborough, and I mean that could only hurt them, I guess, like practicing in that, but or if it was to kind of simulate the perfect conditions inside the dome. But either way, they did practice inside the bubble today for whatever, to simulate that or to avoid the fog. So
I think it was probably a combination of both based on what Julian Edelman said in his remarks, talking about getting acclimated indoors and you know, the feeling of everything being condensed in his words, I believe, right. That was the choice of words for Julian today when he addressed the media. Rob Gronkowski talked today. Did you hear anything of special interest from Gronk?
There were a lot of questions, mostly from Mike Giardi. I know he will appreciate the you know, the credit there, but a lot of questions from him specifically about Tom Brady as a mobile quarterback. I mean, this is the second time we've heard from Tom Brady, and he's, you know, spoken so highly and shown so much admiration for another quarterback who's mobile. You know, and today he was talking about Andrew Luck, and he's like, that guy does a lot of things I wish I could do. And so, rightfully so, a lot of the players were asked about, you know, what do you think about Brady's mobility and kind of what goes through your mind when you see him start to move a little bit. And Edelman, I thought Julian Edelman had one of the funniest answers, and he was just like, what goes through my mind? I'm open. And it was obviously just a light moment, and he was being funny. But yeah, that was kind of the theme. There were a lot of questions about Brady, and, you know, as much as he doesn't doubt himself, but as much as he does strive to improve still in the little things, all the players in there were like, mobile, not mobile, I would take, they're like, I'm pretty happy with with Tom as my quarterback. I mean, it's great to be mobile, but to be the pocket passer that he is, I mean, you can't duplicate that.
Yeah, Mike Giardi quick on his feet.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Very, very mobile reporter.
Yeah.
In addition to being...
He is. He would call me out on Twitter if I didn't give him the shout-out that he deserves. So, yeah, that was kind of the main theme, other than just generic, you know, Colts defense kind of a thing, you know. But it's 'cause since we talked to all offensive players. But Brandon LaFell spoke about being back and after missing practice yesterday, so which was for health reasons, I think. And then, so just all offense today. Only guys we heard from.
Well, the Patriots have come, of course, coming out of the bye to take on the Colts. Likewise, with a week off, Indianapolis 6-3, having won 6 of 7.
Right.
You touched on the fact the Colts have a high-powered offense, first in the league in total offense, first in the league in points scored. Their quarterback, Andrew Luck, a guy with immense talent in many respects. But as we've talked about, he's been prone to the turnover here and there.
Right.
What are the Patriot players? I know you said most of the guys you talked to, if not all, were on the offensive side. But what's the sense you're getting about this particular matchup from the Patriots' point of view?
I specifically today have kind of been focusing on how the Patriots will – I mean, you've got an interesting matchup in terms of – you've got Rob Gronkowski, who's definitely one of the best tight ends in the league. I don't know statistically if he's the best right now, but he's definitely up there. And then you've got the Colts, who are also statistically among the very, very bottom in the league when it comes to shutting down tight ends and covering tight ends. And it's hard enough for anyone to stop Gronk, as we've talked about before. So that is a very interesting matchup. And then, you know, you look at their defense in terms of what they do collectively on third down, and they are the best at limiting third down conversions. So then you've got Rob Gronkowski, who's the second best tight end at getting third down conversions. So I think this could certainly be a huge game for Rob Gronkowski. I think that there's a lot. And then you've got, you know, there's certainly Tim Wright, who I think could certainly be a contributor and element in this matchup. But I today was focusing a lot on Rob Gronkowski, the tight ends against, you know, the Colts secondary and their defense in general.
You know, talking about the Colts on third down defensively, from weeks 4 through 7, they allowed only one third down conversion in each of 4 games. There was a stretch of 15 consecutive third down stops by the Indianapolis defense. Yeah. Now, you look at the schedule, though, for the Indianapolis Colts, and that's where it really gets hard, I think, to get a true read on this defense for Indianapolis, because they were playing those games against Tennessee. Now, Baltimore, a team that's been certainly up and down offensively, I think, this year, more up than down, but Houston and Cincinnati included. And in that Cincinnati game, it was a 27-0 shellacking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly – yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, who knows? I think it's always just it's going to come down to, you know, any given Sunday type of mentality. So, but yeah, it's interesting. Their defensive stats kind of surprised me a little bit. So.
And for the Patriots, of course, this given Sunday presents the primetime matchup, and then they come back and take on Detroit at home.
Yeah.
The Lions playing very, very well.
Yeah.
With a sense of the dramatic of late. And then back on the road against Green Bay in San Diego. So really these next 4 weeks spent primarily outside of Foxborough.
Right.
Against quality competition.
Yeah, and they're going to be on the road for a long time. I mean, they're not just going to play 2 games, you know, at Green Bay, at San Diego. They're going to be out there you know, they're not going to be getting ready at home. They're going to be, you know, out of their element, out of their environment, which I guess could be a would be a good thing. You have more time to acclimate. But, yeah, I mean, the schedule does get pretty tough down the down the stretch. So, yeah, but, you know, Bob, we take things one game at a time around here, okay? I don't know why you're looking ahead that far. They're on to Indy right now. That's all that exists. This is the best team that they've played so far this season. That's what they'll tell you.
Spoken like a true Patriots.com.
Yeah, reported. There you go. You've got to look at it one game at a time.
With Jackie Britton of Patriots Today, Patriots All Access, and other programming on Patriots.com. And Jackie, you also, of course, report regularly on off-the-field news for this team and community relations endeavors. Mm-hmm. And today, and I think there was a mixture of both inside the Kraft Sports Production Studios, because a member of the Mayo family was on hand to interview Patriot players. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was for some. Well, I think most of that took place during the bye week. And so most of that took place during the bye week. Today we were just shooting some of the other things for it. But it's I don't want to give away too much because I want to make sure that it's all going to happen. But let's say I've got some competition for my job. There is someone who is really good at my job, and she could be a future broadcaster. So that's going to be a really cute little piece. We've been working on it.
Something to look for in the future.
Something to look for in the future. A really good tease. Yeah, something to look for in the future for sure.
Well, you're really good at your job, too.
Oh, well, thank you. Hopefully she doesn't beat me out. Hopefully she doesn't beat me out. But you mentioned the community stuff, and I actually, on Monday, Devin McCourty was playing flag football with special needs kids at the YMCA, and I got to tell you, that was definitely one of the best events I've been to. It was so cool. Just playing football with, you know, with kids who a lot of the times don't get the opportunities that typically, you know, growing students and peers get. And so he had the most fun with them playing flag football, got so into it, so animated. He actually was working up a sweat. He was like kind of losing his breath a little bit, but he was doing some wide receiver drills. He said to prove that you don't play defense just because you can't catch. So I told him that we would be the judge of that. We have to take a look at the footage of the drills that they did. But that was fun. That was something they did, you know, pretty quickly, you know, coming off the bye week on Monday. So, but he was the only one there. So,
and part of the great programming at the Hockomock Area YMCA, which next week will hold its Legends Ball involving a number of former Patriots and honoring a current Patriot, Nate Soder, will receive an award.
He's very involved there. Yeah. I'm sure we'll cover that. I'm sure we'll be there for that. But that, again, is next week.
And you get a chance in a situation like that. I mean, here's Devin McCourty, who's an NFL football player. Mm-hmm. Very well paid for what he does in many respects, maybe not to the degree of a Tom Brady, but still very well known. You could say he's famous in New England.
Yeah.
And there he is mixing and mingling with those kids. And you get to see these guys really let their guard down.
They do. They're really vulnerable with these kids. And I think that he said it perfectly when he said, you know, this is a great reminder of what football is really about. The purity is there for these kids. And he's like, it's a great reminder for him and for everyone else. Like, once you get to a certain level, it's all about the business aspect of it. And you come here and you see just the genuine excitement and love of the game. And I think that Devin McCourty still has a lot of that in him. And that's what gets him. That's what he loves about doing these things. Because I said to him, I'm like, you know, you come to these all the time. You know, you're always involved. What do you love about it so much? He's like, it's fun. I just like having fun. And these kids like having fun. So it's all for a great thing. So, that was a good point. Cause there's so much, you know, purity still and the love of the game. And I think that is true for Devin as well. And so it's cool to see him in that environment.
And not surprisingly, the Ron Burton Community Service Award winner this past offseason.
Yeah, deservedly so. So I wonder who will be, that's going to take a lot to top him. So I wonder who next year's will be.
And it's interesting, too, because you mentioned being out on a Monday for an event like this. A lot of other charity events, including that Legends Bowl that I referred to, is Tuesday. So these players are involved getting set for the next game.
Right.
They're going to start practice on Wednesday on a typical week.
Right.
But Monday and Tuesday, they're in meetings, they're working out, they're doing their conditioning, they're watching video, and then they're still making the time to go out in the community. Yeah. And many of these players have their own families.
Yeah, a lot of them are really good at doing that, too. You can tell it's certainly, I have nothing to compare it to, but I've been really impressed ever since I've been here, just the amount of just genuine desire to want to be in those situations and to want to get back and to put themselves in some, you know, sometimes really embarrassing situations. And they do, and they all do it for the the foundation of the cause and for what it is. And so it's cool to see them in that environment. And, you know, it's a good chance to kind of get to know them a little bit better, as not as football players, but as just human beings. You know, it's cool.
Now, Jackie, we couldn't reveal what is possibly upcoming
right.
with regards to a special reporter on Patriots.com.
Right.
What will be happening that we can share with the audience?
There will be interviews. There will be exclusive interviews with players from someone who has ties to the football team here.
And on top of that, we can look forward to your matchup piece. You're going to do
right.
Rob Gronkowski versus the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, that is that's a piece for today, and then we'll do another matchup. Thinking about doing a little college football, you know, reuniting between Dante Hightower and Trent Richardson, the Crimson Tide former teammates in college, will reunite again on the NFL stage on Sunday. So I'm going to do that matchup as well.
You mentioned the Brandon LaFell spoke today. Was he a little mm-hmm. somber this week after LSU took one on the chin
against
Alabama?
That's a good question. He didn't see it. That's a great question. Man, yeah, that was a late game, and then not that many points on the board at the end of it. Yeah, that's a good question. We'll have to ask him.
Because those players, they take their college rivalries pretty seriously in there, huh?
Especially
the SEC guys.
Especially in that conference. There's no question. Yeah.
But at least Dante Hightower, from the Alabama point of view, has the bragging rights this week.
Oh, you reminded me. I meant to tell. I saw Dominique Easley wearing a Florida sweatshirt the other day. If Georgia had won that game, I would feel better about saying go Dogs. But at this point, I just can't.
Wait, do you ever hear from a guy like Chris White or Deontay Skinner's a practice squatter? You mean bragging on Mississippi State?
No. No, I don't. Do you?
No.
Oh,
no. I don't hear from them in general. But
yeah, no, I never. Nope, never do. But they have bragging rights right now.
This year they do.
Yeah, they do.
Interesting. Well, Jackie mm-hmm. Britton, a Georgia Bulldog fan.
Right, fan. It's an important part.
True.
That's the true part. Yeah.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you, as always.
And we will, of course, be on the road this weekend in Indianapolis. Yeah. So you got a thought, a final thought as a parting gift?
I think the Patriots are going to put up a lot of points, and I think they'll come home with the win.
Yeah, I think the matchup certainly favors the Patriots
right.
when you look at the overall team.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, I'll see you on the internet.
All right.
See you on Patriots.com.
On Patriots.com.
Okay, cool. Thanks
right,
for having
Jackie
me.
Jackie Britton, thanks for stopping by. Jackie Britton with us, of course, a member of our staff at Patriots.com and Patriots Today, and we'll be on the air as well on Friday night on the CBS affiliate WBZ on Channel 4 in Boston for Patriots All Access, which you can also watch archived online. And it's a great show that gives you an inside look at the Patriots inside the locker room and often inside the team on and off the field. And Patriots All Access again this week, previewing the Pats matchup with the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to share some thoughts from Tom Brady a little later on the two kickers in this game. Adam Vinatieri of the Indianapolis Colts, of course, who spent a decade with the Patriots to begin his career as a free agent signee of New England, a guy who was a refugee in a sense, playing in Amsterdam and in Europe to keep his professional football aspirations alive. And now here he is in his 19th year. He's delivered some of the most famous kicks, not only in this franchise's history, but in NFL history. And many believe that Adam Vinatieri has kicked his way rightfully to the Hall of Fame in Canton and deserves someday to be enshrined in the NFL. Circle the NFL pantheon of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. But his counterpart is his successor in New England, Stephen Gostkowski, who's had his own terrific career now in his ninth season for the Patriots. And we're going to delve into their numbers a bit later on and, again, hear some of the thoughts of quarterback Tom Brady, because we put the spotlight on the quarterbacks in matchups like this, speaking of Brady and Andrew Luck. But there's also that intersection, as noted, of two guys so prolific at what they do. In the case of Vinatieri, he's gone over 2,000 points in his career. But in the case of Gostkowski, he has an opportunity in the coming weeks to pass Vinatieri as the all-time leading scorer in New England Patriots franchise history. In fact, he's only 35 points away from eclipsing Adam Vinatieri. Gostkowski as well, leading the NFL in scoring this year, with Vinatieri right behind him, second in the NFL in points scored. If Gostkowski maintains his pace, he'll lead the NFL in scoring for the third straight season and for the fourth time overall, and that puts him in elite company with the likes of Mr. Patriot himself, Gino Cappelletti, Don Hutson, among the great point-getters in the NFL's history again. And in the case of Stephen Gostkowski and Adam Vinatieri, so much of their work for the Patriots in particular was in adverse conditions. Of course, Vinatieri kicking now indoors primarily at Lucas Oil Stadium, but nonetheless, what he has done at his age, he'll turn 42 in December. Truly remarkable. Bill Belichick spoke glowingly yesterday of his former kicker and, of course, his opponent on Sunday night. In the case of Vinatieri, again, going back to last year, 26 consecutive conversions for Adam. Gostkowski has missed only one field goal try this year. In the game against Denver, he had to kick toward shaking goalposts in the wind from 45 yards out going into the enclosed end of Gillette Stadium, and then later toward the teeth of the wind in the direction of the lighthouse and the bridge in the open corner of Gillette Stadium. And Stephen Gostkowski drilled a 45-yarder into the teeth of that stiff wind 2 days ago. So these are two guys who, again, have carved out terrific careers for themselves. Pro Bowl caliber kickers annually. In the case of Gostkowski, a Pro Bowler a year ago. Vinatieri's been to the Pro Bowl a couple of times and certainly has merited such distinction many other seasons as well. And as we've talked about, has delivered some of the most iconic kicks in NFL history. And we're going to hear some of the highlights of some of his great moments and as well those of Gostkowski's in a short while as we visit with Tom Brady. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk to Reggie Hayes of the Fort Wayne Sentinel in Indiana, a beat reporter covering the Indianapolis Colts. Collect his thoughts on Andrew Luck and company, and really delve into this matchup in greater detail Sunday night on NBC with a primetime stage for the Patriots and the Colts. We've talked about Luck's ability. Again, number one overall pick coming out of Stanford. Obviously, there is the pedigree. His father, Oliver Luck, played in the NFL. So Andrew Luck, much like his predecessor as the main quarterback of the Colts for so long, Peyton Manning, that second-generational QB, a guy drafted one overall coming out of a college program during which he flourished under a future NFL head coach in Jim Harbaugh and as well David Shaw, a guy that many believe should get a chance if he wants to coach at the NFL level as a head coach. But in the case of Andrew Luck, we've talked about the physical skills, but as well, something that really in the minds of many, especially around here, if one has listened to sports talk radio in the last week, has kept him out of the top five, let's say, for what it's worth, when you consider the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's the propensity to turn the ball over. And in the two games against the Patriots, again, we're talking about a first and second year quarterback. In the case of Luck, in November of 2012 and then January of this year in last year's AFC divisional playoff. In the case of Andrew Luck, he's thrown for 665 yards in those two games, 47 of 91 for 655 yards, more than 7 yards per attempt. Four touchdowns, two apiece in the two starts that he's made against the Patriots, but seven interceptions, two return for touchdowns by Aqib Talib and Alfonso Dehner 2 years ago. And then last year on the third play of the game, he nearly threw a pick six. Dehner did intercept, and they ran it back inside the five before LeGarrette Blount scored one of the four touchdowns he had in that game. And as we think back to that divisional playoff and get ready to talk with Reggie Hayes of the Fort Wayne Sentinel, Kevin Collins, our producer, has put together a nice little montage. Some of the highlights from the Patriots' rout of the Colts in the 2013 AFC divisional playoff, of course, a game that propelled the Patriots into the AFC championship game the following week against the Denver Broncos, the Pats, and the Colts. Tight early on, but LeGarrette Blount literally running away from Indianapolis. He and Stephen Ridley combined for the six touchdowns, for the Patriots in that matchup with Indianapolis in January on a rainy, windy night, albeit an unseasonably warm night at Gillette Stadium here in Foxborough. Let's take a listen to what was, as the Patriots met the Colts, their most recent matchup.
And the Patriots are going to hurry up. The Colts having trouble getting lined up. A handoff to Blount. He runs it left. LeGarrette's on his feet into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Blount force trauma.
Play fake by Luck. Drops back in the pocket. Steps into a throw deep down the right side. Looking for his receiver, Brazil, who has it for a Colts touchdown. Allen again to punt it. Far hash mark to our left. At the 30, and it's a high snap. Airmailed inside the 10. Skidding inside the 5. Allen's going to pick it up. He's going to try to run it out, and the ball is batted through the end zone by one of the Colts. Hopping out of play, first and 10 for Andrew Luck. Right foot forward, takes the snap, drops back. Pressure comes from the right, throws it to the near side. Ball is bobbled, then intercepted by Hightower on the deflection. Dante Hightower lunges outside the 35 of the Patriots, picking off a pass that was mishandled by Stanley Havili.
That's a bad throw by Luck. He put it on the back shoulder.
Tom Brady hands it to Ridley. He runs it right, lowers the shoulders, makes it to the goal line, reaching in for a Patriots touchdown. Luck with a play fake, deep drop, quarterback hit again as he fires down the middle for Brazil, touchdown on the post. And again as Luck hit the deck, another perfect throw by the Colts quarterback.
Wow, is this kid legit?
First and 10 for the Patriots from their 27. Tom Brady hands it off to LeGarrette Blount. A jump cut right, and he rambles out of the tackle. He's gone to the 50. Blount to the 40. Blount to the 30. Blount to the 20. Blount to the 10. Blount to the end zone for the fourth time tonight. Touchdown, Patriots!
Blount forced trauma. What is that, part four? That's four for the big boy.
Andrew Luck takes the snap, quarterback drops back, throws to the left, that ball's intercepted by Alfonso Denner. He's going to end the night for Indianapolis the way he began it, as he picks off his second throw from Andrew Luck tonight, and his third in two meetings with that Colts quarterback.
Pinch me. It's a reality now. We are going to the AFC Championship football game.
Of course, the following week, the Patriots were beaten by the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship, but winning over Indianapolis to get there by the 43-22 final after a 59-24 rout of the Colts in Andrew Luck's rookie season. Joining us now from the Fort Wayne Sentinel, a reporter who has gotten to know Andrew Luck very well and the Colts, of course, inside and out, Reggie Hayes, taking time to visit with us. Reggie, first of all, thanks for making a few minutes available to be on the show, and we welcome you to the Bob Soucy Show here on Patriots Radio.
Oh, glad to know, Bob.
Andrew Luck has been, as you can imagine, a hot topic around here, certainly subject of a lot of conversation on sports talk radio, and there's been the debate locally in Boston about whether he has cracked the top five, if you will, the elite quarterbacks of the NFL. Certainly the physical body of work is there in a lot of respects, but is there anything that's held him back to this point? Where do you stand on the Andrew Luck debate in terms of his maturation, his growth as a quarterback the last 3 years?
Yeah, I would say that number five spot's pretty flexible on the ranking the quarterbacks from week to week. But I think that if you look at what Andrew has done over the course of his 3 years, as he's gotten progressively better at a variety of things, whether it's making the long throw or reading a defense. But if there's one area where he still needs to tighten things up, is that tendency from game to game to have the one or two throws where he tries to do a little bit too much, or he just makes a throw that leaves everyone scratching their head and goes directly at defense for an interception. Or if there's anything, it's just that he tends to want to extend plays. He doesn't really want to accept that sometimes you're going to be sacked and you just got to take the sack. And I think once he gets to that point, then he steps up another notch.
And at the same time, too, what's so impressive about him is when he makes those plays, somewhat puzzling, he still comes back. And the job that he's done in particular late in games, even going back to last year's wild card playoff against Kansas City, to start that game so poorly but keep rebounding, what is it about the makeup of this guy? It's got to be more than the intelligence and the genes, so to speak, being the son of a former NFL quarterback. What is it about Andrew Luck and his mental makeup that allows him to continually shake off those poor throws and keep fighting?
Yeah, I think the things that you mentioned all factor into it, because he grew up around the game. He grew up with a quarterback dad. He grew up knowing, his dad put people in his lives that he is not starstruck by the NFL. He's not starstruck by, being on a big stage and playing on a big stage. And if I was to say what's most impressive about Luck, certainly the fact that he is able to just put those mistakes behind him would rank as probably number one in my book, because, there are times where he just made a horrible play and they've returned it for a touchdown, an interception for a touchdown, or he's got the ball stripped from him and the other team capitalizes. And the very next series, he goes out and makes terrific throws right after that and just totally puts it behind him. Now he comes to the sideline and, he takes responsibility and tells everyone it's his fault and really picks everybody up. But then he's right back to work. And I think he has the perfect short memory for making mistakes.
Reggie Hayes of the Fort Wayne Sentinel kind enough to join us today. And speaking of Andrew Luck and the Colts offense, how has the identity of the offense changed in year two with Pep Hamilton calling plays? I remember last year there was an emphasis early on in running, but so many of the backs went down to injury. What's different about the identity of this Colts offense in 2014?
Well, the biggest thing that's changed this year is the fact that they're really healthy at all their positions with Reggie Wayne back and Dwayne Allen at tight end back, and also probably the biggest of all is having Ahmad Bradshaw at running back. Bradshaw is really teamed with Richardson to give them kind of a dual threat as far as running backs go, and Bradshaw has proved to be a very, very good pickup in his ability to read the defense and to pick up blitzes, but also he really does a nice job of catching the ball out of the backfield and has become kind of a weapon for Luck. Has scored a number of touchdowns already because he's able to get in that position where he's got himself in the open field. And both Bradshaw and Richardson, when they get in the open field, are very good backs. I know Richardson's gotten a lot of criticism for his yards per carry, but when he gets out in open spaces, he's really very effective.
Yeah, Ahmad Bradshaw, someone Patriots fans are all too familiar with. And when you mention him and Wayne and Allen, it seems to me that Andrew Luck has not only three guys who weren't available for that divisional playoff against the Patriots last year, but three guys who really create a lot of problems in concert with the speedier T.Y. Hilton and Hakeem Nicks and now Dante Moncrief. He's got great options to go to, I guess, if those other guys are covered downfield or he needs to check down or he needs to find a third down receiver. He's got a full bevy of weapons, it seems.
You know what? The biggest factor, I think, going into this game for the Colts offensively is how well that offensive line does in giving Luck the time, because as you mentioned, he's got all those weapons that he can choose from. So if he has the time, you've got to expect that he's going to find something to exploit, whether it's Allen as a tight end or whether it's Bradshaw or, you know, deep to Hilton. And T.Y. Hilton has been dynamic all year long. He's been able to get behind defenders. He's been able to make a spectacular catch. And it comes down to whether that line gives him enough time, because I'm sure that the Patriots want to do is get some real pressure on Luck and force him to make quicker decisions than he wants to.
Reggie Hayes of the Fort Wayne Sentinel. Fans in the Boston area are familiar with Gosder Sherilis and Anthony Costanzo, two BC Eagles, but they're joined on the interior of that offensive line by two rookies, Jack Muhort and Jonathan Harrison. How surprised are you with the level of performance thus far by that offensive line, given the inexperience inside?
Well, not only inexperience, but they've shuffled things around a couple of different times, and they've had a couple injuries in a disciplinary measure where they haven't really had a five guys there in the line from game to game that's been consistent. Muhort's come in there and done a really nice job in the first year out of Ohio State, and I think he stepped right in and solidified that spot as far as that left guard spot goes. And Harrison came on later on. They decided to move forward with him at center. He was actually the third center that they kind of used this year. They started off with Colin Holmes, and he got hurt, and A.Q. Shipley came in and played, and then they decided that they really liked Harrison's potential and what he can offer as a blocker and a center. And so he's played fairly well since he's been in there. The line has been fairly effective overall, other than spots here and there.
Let's flip it over to the defense, Reggie. No Robert Mathis, of course. Arthur Jones has been banged up but with the ankle problem. But DeQuell Jackson, one of the additions this year. And then on the back end, Vontae Davis has played so well when healthy for the Indianapolis Colts. It's hard for those of us here in New England to get a real read on that defense when you look at the numbers, but from someone who's watched the team and followed them so closely as you have, what would you say about the personality of this defense and its makeup physically against the Patriots in this matchup? And again, we're visiting with Reggie Hayes of the Fort Wayne Sentinel. Apparently, we've lost the connection for a moment. Speaking of the Colts defense, you know, as we've talked about, the offense for Indianapolis has been so productive consistently this year, but the Indianapolis defense, again, with a mix of the good and bad. We've talked about the terrific numbers on third down, the shutout of Cincinnati during that stretch when they were continually getting the opposition off the field on third down in particular. But there was the 51-point outburst by the Pittsburgh Steelers. There was a bit of a late surge 2 weeks ago by the Giants in a game that really was decided in the early going. So tough, at least if you look at the numbers, to get an accurate read on the play of the Colts defense to date. Bill Belichick has talked about the aggressiveness of the Indianapolis cornerbacks. Greg Minieski as the defensive coordinator with Chuck Pagano, guys who've been very aggressive. Pagano comes from that Baltimore coaching tree, and as a former Raven assistant, briefly a defensive coordinator for the Ravens, he has implemented some of the characteristics of Baltimore's defense in the past, but nonetheless, Bill Belichick has said, really, this is his own defense, or at least with Greg Minieski, the Colts have their own way of doing things. There are certainly elements of what the Ravens do in how the Colts defend, but it is a defense that will be aggressive, as mentioned, with the corners playing physically, and Vontae Davis has been very good for Indianapolis, that's for sure, but it's a defense that also has used the blitz quite a bit. But again, from an outsider's point of view, you wonder about the secondary and the safety play in particular. Mike Adams, the former Bronco back there with Sergio Brown, the former Patriot. What role will Laron Lattery have this weekend against New England, if any? Darius Butler, reserve cornerback, as a former Patriot as well. So the Colts, again, from a defensive standpoint, coming into this game against the Patriots with a mix of good and bad to date in 2014, as the Pats look to continue their role on a five-game winning streak during which the offense has been so enormously productive. Reggie Hayes from the Fort Wayne Sentinel taking a little bit of time to share his thoughts about the offense. Kevin Collins, our producer, still working hard to try to reconnect, but obviously Reggie was in a bad cell area speaking to us from abroad. We do appreciate his time. We tried to get Bob Lamy, the longtime voice of the Colts, for the broadcast, as we usually do on the show, looking to visit with the Patriot opponent's play-by-play voice. And when you talk about Mr. Lamy, he's certainly an announcer who has a very distinctive voice and someone who's called a lot of wins over the course of his career, whether watching Tony Dungy's Colts with Peyton Manning, Jim Caldwell's Colts, at least for one of those seasons in Caldwell's short live tenure as the head coach of the Colts, and, of course, more recently, Chuck Pagano and Andrew Luck. Pagano, a coach who's led the Colts to 11 wins in his first couple of seasons, and, of course, in the process 2 years ago, battled leukemia and was replaced on an interim basis by Bruce Arians. Pagano, an inspiring story. He's the co-author of a book about his experience, Sideline, recently published, and someone who really... I think when you see him from the outside, has an engaging personality that doesn't surprise you when you hear people talk about him and the way players respond to his leadership. I know a lot of the guys who played for Chuck Pagano at the University of Miami, for example, or with the Baltimore Ravens. Again, his former NFL employer rave about Chuck Pagano and his leadership, and it's certainly been evident during his time as the head coach of the Colts. It's an organization that, as we know, over the last two decades has been among the winningest in the NFL, and this year has dealt with some off-the-field adversity as well in the preseason, with the owner Jim Irsay serving a six-game suspension, coming back to find his team again playing so well, and heading into Sunday's matchup against the Patriots, having won 6 of 7. And Reggie Hayes reconnected. Reggie, appreciate your time. We'll keep you for only a few more minutes, but wanted to ask you about the defense. Numerically, it's kind of hard from afar to get a read on the Colts' defense. What do you see as the strengths? What do you see as the weaknesses of this unit?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get a read on the defense up close, too. You know, they've been kind of patched together a little bit because of the loss of Robert Mathis, and, you know, they knew they were going to be without him for the first four games because of the positive test for the banned substance, and then he ended up being injured for the year, so that really threw a wrench in everything. And Bjorn Werner, the second-year outside linebacker, has done a decent job stepping in there and really has come along, progressed pretty well. Corey Redding is kind of the heart and soul of that defense right now because he just brings so much energy, and he's done a nice job in leading a defensive line that's improved. the secondary, you got Vontae Davis, who's playing outstanding ball right now. He's become, at least from my viewpoint, one of the best cornerbacks in the league right now. And Greg Toler on the other side is playing okay. He does a decent job as the second corner, but Vontae's really stood out. Mike Adams came in at safety as a free agent and has really been better than people expected. Now they've been without LaRon Landry for four games because of his suspension. Sergio Brown stepped in there and he'll continue to start at least this week. And we don't know if Landry's going to end up earning that job back again or not. So I'd say the strength of the defense really lies in the corners and somewhat of their pass rush, although they did not have any success in the pass rush against the Steelers in that game in which Ben Roethlisberger just went crazy on them. And a lot of that had to do with Roethlisberger, I think, being so skilled at reading the blitz early and checking out of things. And I think similar possibilities exist with Tom Brady because we know how adept he is at reading defenses. So it'll be interesting to see if the Colts can generate a pass rush against an elite quarterback like that.
And how do you suspect they'll try to deal with Rob Gronkowski?
they're going to hope that they can keep him from reaching the stadium, I think. I'm not sure how they're going to deal with him. You know, Coach Pagano was talking about that for the past couple of days when he's talked to the media. And really, it's a dilemma because you put too much emphasis on that one player, you're going to put yourself in position where you're going to get burned by somebody else. And we know that Tom Brady is capable of using whatever weapons he has to use to make the offense click. So I would suspect that the Colts are going to try to mix things up a little bit and try some different looks to cover Gronkowski. But they have not had success against tight ends this year, whether it was Heath Miller or Julius Thomas. And I think that's really, really one of the big matchup problems for the Colts. And, of course, Gronk is a matchup problem for every team.
No doubt about that. And Tom Brady, of course, played on three Super Bowl winning teams with a guy named Adam Vinatieri, who's still kicking strong in his 19th year. He's made his last 26 kicks. Yesterday, Bill Belichick said he sees no end in sight for Vinatieri, who I think will turn 42 by season's end. How much do you marvel at his consistency and reliability?
It's pretty incredible, really, when you think about, obviously, kickers can last longer than any other players, but he's not just lasting longer, he's still performing at a high, high level, and you could argue that he's kicking as well as he's ever kicked in his career, both with his accuracy, as you mentioned, not missing a field goal, but also he has distance. He's been able to kick the, you know, 48, 50 yarders with real relative ease, and he was talking in the locker room today about, he was asked about that comment by Belichick about him, no end in sight, and he kind of laughed and said, you know, I'm just taking it every day at a time. he goes, I'm going to worry about today, then I'll worry about tomorrow. He goes, I don't know how long that can last. I'm just going to keep going one step, one day at a time. And that certainly is a good strategy for him so far.
Sounds like he's still a Patriot at heart. That's generally the line I'm sure he used in Foxborough for so long. And they just take him one game at a time around here.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. And you know what? He was also asked, obviously, he's very popular whenever it's Colts Patriots week, and he was asked about playing against the Patriots, and I mean he says nothing but good things about the organization and Coach Belichick, and I think that there's respect there. But man, would he like to win the game with a field goal? I think he'd like to do that.
Well, his colleague on special teams is outstanding too, and Pat McAfee, and one of the things that stands out about the Colts, three successful onside kick attempts, two of them surprise onside kicks. How consistent is that with Chuck Pagano's personality as the head coach to take chances like that?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that's changed this year, because really you almost can't really look at what Chuck Pagano did in his first season, because you know, he had that bout with leukemia and had to miss so many games, so really didn't get to have a season, his first season as coach. So last year was his first full season, and he was very conservative and very adverse to taking those kinds of risks and those kind of bold moves. And I think this season we've seen a lot more of going for it on fourth and one, of trying, as you mentioned, three onside kicks, two of them being really surprise onside kicks in a strategic manner. And He's done a lot. He's done a little bit more of a less predictable offensive play calling, less predictable moves this year than he did in his first season where he was very, very conservative.
You know, I said a moment ago in between our conversations that he seems from afar to be the kind of coach that you can understand why players would gravitate toward, and certainly the leadership that is needed to coach successfully in the NFL. Again, from the outsider's point of view, it seems like this is a guy that would be a very engaging person to play for. Is that your impression as well up close?
Yeah, you know what? I would say that the one thing that's been kind of a common thread for Jim Irsay in hiring coaches since he hired Tony Dungy and then followed up with Jim Caldwell is he really likes that type of coach. I guess the best way I describe it is the professional's coach, the guy who says, you're a professional football player. I'm going to expect you to behave and respond as a professional, but I'm not going to yell and scream and go crazy and act silly. I'm going to treat you like a professional. You're going to treat the coaches with respect, and we're going to work together. And I think the players respond to that. Corey Redding has been around Chuck Pagano since they were both with the Ravens. And if you talk to him for any length of time, he'll tell you how great a coach he is as far as motivating players to play for him. You know, they want to do their best for him because they really feel like he has their interest at heart.
Hey, Reggie, I'll let you go with one last question regarding the Patriots' next opponent, because after Indianapolis, New England hosts the Detroit Lions. Are you surprised at all by the success of the Lions under Jim Caldwell, the guy that you mentioned in between Tony Dungy and Chuck Pagano?
Yeah, you know, especially with Calvin Johnson being out so much, I thought that was surprising that they could succeed without their number one weapon, really. But where I'm not surprised, I guess, is that Jim Caldwell, when he took over the Colts with Peyton Manning still playing, was very effective as a coach when he had the weapons and he had the right talent around him. His downfall happened when Manning was out for the season and things just went to a disastrous state for the Colts, and really they decided to move and basically reboot the whole franchise with a different direction. But when Jim Caldwell has the talent around him, he is very much the type of coach that Tony Dungy is, that Chuck Pagano is, in the fact that if you perform for him and you walk the right way and you act like a professional, he's going to make sure that he puts you in the best spots to excel. So happy for him because he's a very nice guy to be around.
Well, the Patriots certainly have their work cut out for them. Very difficult stretch begins Sunday against Indianapolis. Reggie Hayes from the Fort Wayne Sentinel, thank you so much for your time.
Bob, it was great talking with you. Thanks again.
Appreciate it. And looking forward, of course, to our visit to Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday night when the Pats take on the Indianapolis Colts in a primetime matchup on NBC that can also be heard, of course, on the Patriots radio network on the Boston flagship 98.5, the Sports Hub, and the rest of the Patriots radio network affiliates. I have this terrible issue with the word radio. I work in radio, obviously, sometimes better than others. And radio is the one stumbling block for me anytime, Kevin, I have to go to a commercial break.
Very ironic.
Radio network. So I will try to work on my enunciation of those three syllables, radio. And here on the Bob Soucy Patriots.com radio show, just a few minutes remain. I teased the Tom Brady comments about the kickers, and we heard Reggie Hayes of the Fort Wayne Sentinel talking about the remarkable consistency of Adam Vinatieri, not only being a guy who continues to make field goals, showing tremendous accuracy, but also doing it from distance. And, of course, Steven Gostkowski has done the same thing for the Patriots and sits on the verge of eclipsing Vinatieri as the all-time leading scorer in New England Patriots history. In fact, as the leaderboard stands at the moment, Vinatieri with 1,158 career points, followed by Gino Cappelletti, of course, a player that was so outstanding in many other ways besides his kicking for the Pats. But Gino kicked the a kick to the tune of 1,130 points. And then there's Gostkowski, who has 1,124 career points. And while Vinatieri has the four Super Bowl titles, including three with New England, and of course, the two Super Bowl winning kicks, plus the overtime winner against Oakland on the kick that forced that OT in the Snow Bowl, he has converted for more than 2,000 points in his NFL career, spanning 19 seasons, including this, and as mentioned, has made his last 26 attempts. As for Gostkowski, he leads the NFL in scoring for the third straight year and for the fourth time overall, and with 32 consecutive made tries in the fourth quarter alone, has shown his ability to come through repeatedly in the clutch, and again is now in his ninth season as the Patriots place kicker. But Tom Brady, who played for so long with both Vinatieri and Gostkowski, was asked about them earlier today.
For Adam Vinatieri, 48-yard field goal attempt. Set to go. Snap, ball down. Kick up. Kick is on the way, and it is good! It's good! It's good! Adam Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the game is over, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The Patriots are Super Bowl champions! The best team in the National Football League!
I've been very fortunate to play with both those guys. Adam's one of the greatest kickers of all time, and Steve's, one of the greatest kickers, in the league. So he's had a phenomenal career.
Fourth down and three for the Patriots. Gostkowski will line up to attempt a 49-yard field goal from the left hash, and again, swirling wind a bit. Strong from the backside of Gostkowski in the staggered stance. Snap on the spot. He drives the kick, has plenty of leg, and the kick is good. Gostkowski got it again. And the Patriots have the game's first lead with 7:09 to go in this opening quarter.
I think they're both very confident players. I think that speaks to what a kicker is all about. And they're always able to just to move on. So, one bad kick doesn't, not that they either have had many bad kicks, but Adam hadn't missed all year.
Snap to McAfee, kick by Vinatieri, and per usual with Adam, it's true.
One bad kick doesn't lead to a second bad kick, and there's really never a loss of confidence. Almost like a closer in baseball. You're called in to do a job. You have a lot of confidence you're going to do it. If you miss, you're going to have just the same amount of confidence going out there the next time.
Snap in the spot. Gostkowski lays into the kick from 45 yards away, and it's good! Gostkowski into the wind, and the Patriots' lead grows by three.
Steve's done such a great job for us. He made some huge kicks in the last game, made some huge kicks this season. Really tough kicks, and we don't really play in very easy conditions, I'd say, for kickers.
45-yard field goal attempt coming up. Snap, ball down. Kick up on the way, and it is good! It is good! 45 yards! Adam Vinatieri kicks it through the snow, and we're tied at 13-13 with 27 seconds left to play.
The weather is always a big part of the game, especially in the kicking game here, and to develop that mental toughness, because we practice outside all the time. It's even that much more exceptional what Steve's really been able to accomplish.
Try to win it in overtime. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the uprights, and the kick is a game winner. The Patriots come back and beat the Broncos 34-31. Adam Vinatieri, Stephen Gostkowski, two of the NFL's best. And again, while much of the attention of the viewing audience will be on the two quarterbacks, Tom Brady of New England, Andrew Luck of Indianapolis, certainly both kickers intersecting two of the best at their respective crafts as well, Adam Vinatieri and Stephen Gostkowski. Tom Brady also was asked today about succeeding on the road, and while the Patriots have won their last 14 games at Gillette Stadium overall, they have struggled a bit on the road the last two seasons, and in particular this year, falling in the season opener at Miami, and then again in week four, of course, at Kansas City. One of the common denominators in those two games, the get-off of the defensive lineman, in particular Cameron Wake of Miami, and for the Kansas City Chiefs, a guy like Tamba Ali, being able to anticipate the snap count and beat the Patriots' tackles to the quarterback Tom Brady. Again, the Pats being on the road against Indianapolis indoors at Lucas Oil Stadium are going to have to deal with the noise. And Tom Brady was asked about the difference between being home and road today and the challenges of playing outside of Foxborough. And his first thought was to the noise inside the stadium and communication as an offense pre-snap in particular. Again, as a quarterback tries to set the protections and have everybody on the same page.
Communication's a little bit more of an issue on the road. And I think that's the most important thing when you're playing on the road, is to make sure everyone's really on the same page. Because if you're just a little bit late anticipating things, then the defense has such a significant advantage. So ultimately it comes down to execution and how well you play, and then the communication plays into the execution. And because the execution is a little more difficult, you know, you got to work harder and concentrate more on exactly what we're doing so that we're really all on the same page. So it'll be tested this week. This is a great environment. It'll be rocking Sunday night. It'll be a great environment for football. We played quite a few games there. In my career, even though it's still a relatively new stadium, but it's got great energy, and we're going to hopefully try to use that energy for us also, not just for them.
And again, the Pats have sprinted to fast starts in their 5-game winning streak, and they have used that turbo offense, playing up tempo a great deal over the course of the last 5 games. So it will be challenging trying to do so again in the Den in Indianapolis, trying to communicate again on the road in a loud environment, as one would expect it to be in a Sunday night matchup with two of the top teams in the AFC, two of the top teams in the NFL, period. Patriots have won their last 4 against the Colts, by the way, but they're 0-2. 0-2 at Lucas Oil Stadium versus Indianapolis, and they also lost the Super Bowl there as well. So they look for their first win in that new stadium, the home of the Colts, against Indy on Sunday night. My thanks to Kevin Collins, our producer, and to our guest, Reggie Hayes of the Fort Wayne Sentinel, who covers the Colts. Scott Zolak, of course, of the Patriots Radio Network, Jackie Britton of Patriots.com, and Kyle Arrington of the Patriots secondary, number 25 in your New England Patriots program, and at least today, number 1 in our hearts as well, on the Bob Sosi Show here on Patriots.com Radio. Really good guy, and wishing him and his family all the best, again, as they await the birth of their second child. But thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week at Wednesday on Wednesday from 4 to 6 to talk about the Pats-Colts matchup and look ahead to the Patriots versus the Detroit Lions. Until then, for the aforementioned Kevin Collins, I'm Bob Sosi. So long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Sosi Show, exclusively on Patriots.com Radio.
Sets up with a throw to the right side, catch made by Edelman, turns to the end zone, and he runs it past the 5. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Bob will be back next Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. with the latest news and reaction from this week's game, as well as a preview of the Patriots' next opponent.
Hand off Ridley, runs it right. Ridley dives to the goal line. He's in again! Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com anytime to find the latest Bob Sosi Show podcasts, as well as the very latest news and information on your favorite team.
Shotgun snap to Manning. Play fake, a throw to the near side. Ball picked off by Logan Ryan. Diving break on the ball.
He's got it.
As he stepped in front of Eric Decker.
He's got it.
Patriots take over.
This place is berserk.
We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Bob Sosi Show.